From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde, in for Ross Reynolds. There are a lot of songs about love, but there are even more songs, baby, about loss.
I don't want to get over you. I guess I could take a sleeping pill and sleep back well and not have to go through what I go through. I guess I should take Prozac right and just smile all night.
I don't want to get over you by the Magnetic Fields. Today on The Conversation, we're taking a look at what happens in our brains when we're heartbroken with a biological anthropologist. We'll also be talking to famed Seattle rock critic Charles R. Cross in a moment with the definitive answer to the question, what makes a great breakup song? But before getting to the experts, I wanted to find out what some of the folks around KUW thought about this.
My name is Arwen Nix. I'm one of the producers of The Conversation, and my favorite breakup song is Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away.
It's actually impossible for me to listen to that song and not cry.
And this raises a serious scientific question. What happens to the brains of people who are experiencing a really bad breakup? For answers, I turn to Dr. Helen Fisher. She's a biological anthropologist and a professor at Rutgers University.
Well, you know, we actually have put 15 people into a brain scanner who had just been rejected in love. And my hypothesis was that romantic love was a perfectly wonderful addiction when it's going well and a perfectly horrible addiction when it's going poorly. And sure enough, in all of these 15 peoples, we found activity in a tiny little factory called the nucleus accumbens, which is part of the brain's reward system, the brain system for wanting, for craving, for obsession. And that became active in all of the people. It is an obsession. It is an addiction. All of the major addictions show activity in this brain region, and so do those who are madly in love and have been rejected. We not only found activity in this and two other brain regions linked with really craving and addiction, but we also found activity in a brain region linked with intense romantic love. You know, when you've been dumped, you still love the person. In fact, barriers can even heighten the feeling. You love them more. And we found activity in a brain region linked with profound feelings of attachment. Last but not least, we found activity in a brain region linked with pain, physical pain, not only the distress that goes along with physical pain, but physical pain itself. So no question about it that it's a violent physical experience. And in fact, other people have discovered now that if you take Tylenol or some kind of painkiller, it can actually help.
Wow.
Time heals, too. We also found out that time heals. The brain region linked with attachment, the longer you get away from the rejection incident, the more that brain region heals. And so time does heal.
So it's love is like an addiction. Does that mean that having a really bad breakup is like trying to get off a drug like cocaine?
Yes, it certainly is. It's probably much worse. You know, when you get off cocaine, I don't know how long it takes you to get off the memories of cocaine, but any physical pain, you begin to forget it. You know, you got a terrible toothache, and then it gets solved, and 2 weeks later, you barely remember it. But years later, you can remember the physical pain and anxiety and trauma of a breakup. It's a powerful brain experience, so powerful, in fact, that I have often thought that nature overdid it. I mean, why do we suffer so badly?
How did you identify people who had bad breakups?
Yeah, well, this was our second our experiment. First, I put people into the brain scanner with my brain scanning colleagues, Lucy Brown and others, and I would interview them, for a long period of time and make sure that they were still had all of the symptoms of being madly in love with somebody and really suffering. I mean, there's some very specific traits of romantic love. Among them, you can't stop thinking about the person. You go to bed thinking about them. You wake up in the morning thinking about them. It is a true obsession. And so I would I would ask them, you know, how what percentage of the day and night do you actually think about your partner? And they would say, I never stop thinking about him or her. They also are still very possessive of the person. It's called mate guarding. a lot of energy in the beginning. You know, there's two stages to breaking up, I mean, to having been broken up with. The first is the protest stage, and you just try as hard as you can to win that person back. You'll try to seduce them. You'll try to you'll go into the storm into their office and get mad at them and say you're never going to see them again. And 10 minutes later, you're back again to do it again or try to seduce them. You try to make them jealous. You try to reason with them, anything to win them back. And then, of course, in this second stage, when you finally realize it truly is over, you go from the protest stage into the resignation stage. And at that point, it's my guess that the dopamine system just plummets and that it's geared up in the beginning, to giving you that energy and motivation to win them back. And then when you give up and you go into the resignation stage, that's when I think you're going to reach the clinical depression, thoughts of suicide, anhedonia. You don't feel any sort of gaiety over anything at all that happens to you. And you just sit in bed and cry.
Dr. Helen Fisher is a biological anthropologist at Rutgers University. You know, this sounds horrible, worse than you might even think had you been broken up with. And I'm wondering why in that state, in this horrible sort of, you know, drug addicted state almost, you would turn to a breakup song. What are your thoughts about that?
First of all, the dopamine system is a dopamine system that is basic to intense feelings of romantic love. And when you're madly in love and happily in love, the dopamine system is driven up. And even in that first stage when you've been rejected in love, the dopamine system is revved up. This is what gives you the energy and the motivation and the focus and the obsession that goes along with the rejection. And I think that people create songs about breaking up because the dopamine system is so geared up, and dopamine is linked with creativity. And so you'll see people who have never written a poem in their life, never written a song in their life, never been creative really in any dramatic way, and suddenly they get rejected in love or even fall madly in love, and suddenly they become extremely creative. First of all, they've got enough time. They can't sleep. The dopamine system keeps you up. And so they've got time to be creative. So that's those who are actually creating, songs about a breakup. I don't quite know. It's a wonderful question, but I think we tend to wallow in our sorrow. And when you hear those very melodramatic sounds of the wailing voice, I remember when I was being broken up with once, and a friend gave me some songs, and he said, here's something to listen, here's something to kill yourself by. And I think that maybe we need a companion in our grief. The words suddenly become very poignant to us, probably because of the dopamine system, makes us very alert, maybe very focused, and we've got something to cry with.
Just also from an evolutionary perspective, which is something that you're also an expert on, why would humans experience such debilitating physical symptoms due to a bad breakup? You'd think, at that point, you're unable to gather and hunt and farm and all the rest of it.
Well, I've often wondered why myself, but I think that when you've been broken up with, first of all, you've really lost something. You've lost social connections. You've lost financial and economic resources. You've lost daily habits and patterns and routines, and you've lost reproductive opportunities. You are not any longer able to send your DNA on into tomorrow with this individual. You've lost time. You've lost energy. You've lost friends. You've lost a lot. So I think this is one of the reasons that we feel the way we do. But why is it so bad? I think largely because it's a very honest social signal that you need help. And indeed, you really do need help. You need to get back into the community. You need to meet new people. You need to keep going with life. And if you send a very honest signal to everybody around you that you cannot do any hunting today, that you're not going to be doing any gathering, you can't even stoke the fire, you can't get out of the hut because all you can do is cry, I think that the people around you are going to be very alert to this very rapidly and come in with help.
All right, last question. What's the best way to get over a bad breakup?
I think you got to treat it as an addiction, a real, genuine addiction. Throw out the cards and letters or put them in a box and hide them in the attic. Don't call. Don't write. Don't try to be friends for at least 2 or 3 years until you're entirely over it. You know, I mean, if you know, if you're giving up alcohol, you don't leave a bottle of wine on your desk. And in the same way, you've got to remove those things that trigger these brain systems. Other thing, get some exercise. Exercise jacks up the dopamine system, makes you feel better, can jack up the endorphins and help to relieve the pain. Go out with old friends. This can help get hugs and kisses from other people. And try new things. Go do novel things with novel people also. That'll drive up the dopamine system. Anything to distract you.
Dr. Helen Fisher, a biological anthropologist at Rutgers University. She studies what happens in the brain when people are in love and what happens after a really bad breakup. So the question still remains unanswered. What makes for a really great breakup song? And in a minute, we're going to hear from famed music writer Charles R. Cross. But I wanted to start out by getting some more answers from the KW newsroom.
Hi, this is Bill Radke from The Morning Show. You know the triumphant revenge breakup song? I don't buy those at all. Breakups hurt, and the song should hurt. And Adele, her beautiful song, Someone Like You, that hurts.
I heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now.
Hi, my name is Hannah Byrne, and I'm an intern on The Conversation. And I don't know if this is my favorite breakup song, but the breakup song that I listened to after my very first breakup over and over again is Ignition Remix by R. Kelly.
This is Andy Hurst. I'm a producer and announcer here at KUOW. My favorite breakup song is by the band Yola Tango. It's called Tears Are In Your Eyes. It's probably the saddest song that I've ever heard.
Tears are in your eyes tonight.
I think a good breakup song is Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House. Doesn't the name just kind of say it all for those times when you don't want it to be over, but you kind of do want it to be over, but really you don't? So I was in middle school in the mid-80s when this song came out, and I can remember listening to it on my little cassette player and then rewinding it and listening to it again and again and again.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without.
Hi, my name's Cameron Drews, and I'm a fill-in producer for The Conversation. My favorite breakup song is Howlin' at the Moon by Hank Williams. I like it because it illustrates all these insane, irrational mood swings that always accompany heartbreak, and it's just absolutely hilarious.
You got me chasing rabbits, walking on my hands and howling at the moon.
This is Anne Dornfeld, and I think that wallowing is only appropriate for teenagers and for folks who have royally messed up, and everyone else needs to get on with their lives as soon as possible. So when it comes to breakup songs, I think The Platonic Ideal is probably Irreplaceable by Beyoncé, which is about how her ex is anything but.
You must not know about me. You must not know about me. I could have another you in a minute. Matter of fact, he'll be here in a minute.
You're listening to The Conversation on KUOW Public Radio, and we've been talking about the science of breakup songs and also what makes a great breakup song. And joining us now with the correct answer to that question, music writer Charles R. Cross. Charles Cross is a Seattle journalist and an author. He started The Rocket, and his books include Heavier Than Heaven, biography of Kurt Cobain, Kicking and Dreaming about the Seattle rock band Heart. Charles Cross, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
So I know that you've brought some music with you, and you're going to tell us about that. But first, just, in general, what makes a great breakup song to you?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on where your mind is when you hear it. You can hear a song that, you know, you can listen to 1,000 times and it has no meaning to you until one day your heart's broken and you're driving in your car and suddenly the same song you've listened to 1,000 times comes on the radio and you realize that the singer is in the same place you are. And that's what makes a great song in general. Sitting on the Dock of the Bay is great because we've all had that moment of loneliness that that song is about. But breakup songs hit us because suddenly we realize that there's a voice that's coming on the radio or coming from your iPod in the voices of a singer who's having the same emotion that you are having. And that makes you feel more human. You know, I think there's stages of breakup songs, just like there's stages of anger and grief. There's the denial, there's the anger, there's the sadness, there's the wanting them back. All of that is in the world of breakup songs.
The variety of different breakup songs. I was also thinking we heard earlier Stephen Merritt, the Magnetic Fields.
Whose entire catalog
yeah,
is breakup.
It's all breakup songs, pretty
it's
much.
It's like you can't even pick one because there's so many.
Yeah. Are there other artists like that who, you know, just really wrote a lot of breakup songs or a lot of great breakup songs?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Hank Williams, find a song that's not tragedy, you know, from Your Cheatin' Heart on. Every song is mournful. One of the problems with Hank Williams, though, is that he sings those songs in kind of an upbeat thing. You know, Your Cheatin' Heart, and it doesn't sound like a breakup song. Then you contrast that with Nick Cave or Lou Reed or Tom Waits, somebody who's already dark. And it doesn't matter what they're singing. They could be singing Happy Birthday and it sounds horrible, horribly depressing. And then look at, you know, one of my arguments is that the best breakup songs are always on piano. Think right now for a second in your head of all those early Joni Mitchell albums that you might have listened to in college the way I did. Before she even sings a word, she's just played the piano riff. You're already basically in tears. You know what's happening because they're minor chords and they're the piano, which makes for the absolute best breakup songs.
And you wanted to share with us some artists, including Bob Dylan.
Yeah, and Dylan's another one where there's so many great breakup songs. You know, with Dylan, it's not even songs, it's albums. And, you know, the greatest album that Dylan ever did, in my opinion, and the most powerful album, and part of it's based on where I was when I heard it, is Blood in the Tracks. And it chronicles the breakup with his wife, Sarah, that he'd been with for a long time. And that album has a whole bunch of different songs on it that are really powerful. But there is a later era Dylan song that actually I think is one of his best breakup songs ever. And it's one because it's the wistfulness of I'm not sad is what he's saying. He's saying it sarcastically, but there's a tone in the way he sings the song, which is called Most of the Time, that I listen to the song and it just destroys me. And let's listen to a little bit of it here.
I can deal with the situation right down to the bone. I can survive. And I can endure. And I don't even think about her most of the time.
Really simple. He's not saying, I love you. He's not saying, this was special to me. But it's all there in the kind of defeated tone of the way he sings that song. And, you know, this is, as Dylan's career has gone by, he's lost his voice, you know, progressively over the decades. But on that song, the voice he has now does work. And there's just an incredible amount of emotion. You know, Dylan kind of in later eras didn't want to show a lot of emotion, but it's there. You know, another artist that almost every song is about, you know, breakups are, you know, Lucinda Williams. There's so many good ones. I haven't even picked one here because you could go from Change the Locks to Buttercup to five other ones that are if she's not breaking up with someone, she's not making a good album. That sort of follows up with what your other, you know.
Dr. Fisher. You mean talking about that was the biological anthropologist Dr. Fisher talking about this creative moment that people kind of go through when they're breaking up with somebody and how a lot of great art comes about as a result of that. So that's part of the experience. I mean, for somebody who hasn't broken up, you can just experience these as just really, really great songs. But she seemed to be saying that therapeutically, if they're super sad, it may not be the best thing to stick with them for too long.
Well, there's the other side of it, which is the song we're going to play next, which is a song by Alanis Morissette. This song sold 35 million albums. That's how successful it was because The anger of a breakup is so inherent in this song. And everybody knows what song I'm going to play here. But we're not going to play the swear words. But that's in there. And we all feel that at times. And that's part of a breakup, too. So. I mean, she's snarling. She's biting, basically, as she's singing that song. And that single made her career. It made her one of the biggest selling female artists of all times. So out of that breakup, she got a lot of cash. But she also got a great song. And when I listen to it, it makes me feel better. It taps in that anger. And I think that's part of the process.
Sounds like a great way of getting over it, basically.
Yeah, to some degree. But there are times you don't want to get over it. You want to soak in the melancholy, just like the woman before had talked about. And that's what my next pick is a song by an artist, Billy Bragg, who I adore. And it's a cover that he is doing of a 1965 hit by The Left Banke, which was also covered by the Four Tops and Southside Johnny and a bunch of other people. What's amazing about this song is that Billy Bragg doesn't actually sing a single lyric from Walk Away Renee, the song. He's playing the part, though. And as he plays that part, the music already is so sad because he's going back and capturing this thing from our memory of hearing that song before. And then he's telling a story. Great breakup songs tell the story of the relationship. Unless there is a connection, then we don't care if they broke up. And that's what he does with this.
She said it was just a figment of speech. And I said, you mean figure? And she said, no, figment, because she could never imagine it happening. But it did. When we first met, I played the shy boy. And when she spoke to me for the first time, my nose began to bleed. She guessed the rest. The next day, we went on a bus ride to the ferry. And when nobody came to collect our fares, well, I knew then this was something special. I couldn't stop thinking about her, and every time I switched on the radio, there was somebody else singing a song about the two of us.
We could go on and on with that song. It's such a beautiful song because it's a talk song. And as I said, he's telling the story of the relationship. That's why when it ends and when he sees her in a car park with someone else, it's so powerful because we've all had that memory of seeing someone we love with someone else and how difficult that is for us to kind of put in our mind that that actually exists.
We're talking to Charles R. Cross. He's a Seattle journalist and writer, and we were talking earlier about the science of breakup songs. Now we're talking about what makes a great breakup song. And I'm wondering, you know, how many of these songs touch you personally?
Well, everyone we're playing here, I honestly almost started crying as that last song was playing.
So these all take you back to specific breakups?
Yeah, sometimes not too far back. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Bob Dylan song, you know, Blood in the Tracks is Sarah Henson, you know, my high school sweetheart who moves to Kenya in an era before Skype or email, you know, poof. Broken Heart, number one, you know, you know, the music always takes you back to that moment and you feel the memories of the times that you had. But if it wasn't a great love, then the songs don't mean anything. So the greater the love, the more powerful the song connection. This next one, you know, everybody's heard this song. It's an incredible song. And one of the reasons I'm playing it, though, is that I, as a music critic, listened to it 100 times without even realizing that it's about a breakup. I just didn't do that. And then my own life circumstances sort of shift. And then I hear the lyrics and I go, holy crap. This is there's something here. And the song is Adele's Rolling in the Deep.
We
we don't need to play much of that. You've heard this 1,000 times in the last week. But when she – the thing that's interesting about this song is the lyrics aren't that great of this song, in my music critic opinion. But it's the way she sells that song. When she goes – we could have had it all, and we're rolling. We could have been rolling in the deep, and she goes on and on. It's her voice that makes it a great breakup song, not the lyrics.
And Bill Radke, KOW's Bill Radke, also picked an Adele song that we heard earlier. She's got a number of is she known for lots of breakup songs? Like one
she's
of those
had a
artists
few breakups.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor Swift has made her entire reputation on breakup songs, and that's a big joke, but. In my mind, they don't touch me, you know. I'm never, ever going back to you. I don't really care because there wasn't a great love in the first place. But with Adele, you believe there was a great love. You know, we could have had it all. That is the essence of a great breakup song. My number one pick, I think, is one of the best pop songs ever done by anybody. And what's interesting about this song, which gave me an entirely new perspective, is I saw a presentation about a year ago by a guy named who had worked as an engineer, Ed Cherney, on this track. And he talked about how the piano on this track, which is played by Bruce Hornsby, is not right. There's something wrong about that piano. And when they recorded this in the studio, they tried it and they said, the piano's not right. And they went to 20 other studios with in-tune pianos. And they went back and recorded the song where they did it first. There's something not right about this piano. Maybe that could also be said about a lot of relationships that break up. But there's something unique about it. It's not quite – it's not that it's not in tune, but it doesn't sound like other pianos. But this song, late at night, cut your lights out, blast your speakers, sit in your big house, listen to it, sit in your car. You cannot escape the sadness of this song. It's Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me. That piano, that singing, the arrangement, it just kills me. It's always killed me, even if I wasn't in a breakup. The power of that song, in my mind, is just undeniable. There are 1,000 other great breakup songs. I love Dido's White Flag, CeeLo Green, Forget You, Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, The Magnetic Fields, You Must Be Out of Your Mind, Iggy Pop, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, REM, One I Love. This year, one of my favorites been the Ben Fold Five's Brick, which is kind of about a relationship sinking. It's not the actual breakup. And then always Frank Sinatra and the Wee Small Hours of the Morning. You know, there is something in our existence as humans that music touches us. It makes us feel more connected to other people, but at times it also reminds us how that connection is brief. And it's ethereal, and it doesn't last. And that's the cynic in me, but I think that's the reason that these songs get inside us and touch us and make us feel more human.
Charles R. Cross, thanks for telling us about what makes a great breakup song and helping us understand how we feel when we're listening to breakup songs. I'm feeling pretty melancholy right now, I have to say.
Look, we got to play some really like rockin' track.
That's a good idea.
Pop on. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
That would be a good one. I don't think we have one. Charles R. Cross is a Seattle journalist and an author. Started The Rocket. His books include Heavier Than Heaven, a biography of Kurt Cobain, and Kicking and Dreaming about the Seattle rock band Heart. Seattle rock critic Charles Cross, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.